I guess you could say that I have been stuck on this one issue all the way through this year's Christmas season. If you have been in any conversations with me, if you have paid attention to what I've preached on and so forth, there is no doubt that I am stuck on this. And so, pardon me, we're going to go back there again. I hope it'll be helpful to you. I read a story this week. It was, it started off as a pretty cute little family story. It was the story of a guy who had decided to take his 8-year-old son to his Bible study group that he had. It's kind of a home group of sorts, and the little boy went with him and kind of crawled up on the chair next to Dad at the Bible study, and they had their study, and at the end of the study, they had a time where people could tell about the things that were going on in their lives and ask the rest of the group to pray for them. Not unlike Bible study groups you have been a part of, maybe, as you wrap up and do those things. And so the little boy sat with Dad as they both listened to the people go around the circle, and each one telling a story of the struggle that they are part of, their own personal life dilemma. Each story was different. Each story had its own personality. But the boy listened to all of them as they went around the circle. After it was over and they had prayed for each other, they got in the car and started to go home. And the little boy turns to his dad and asks this question: "Dad, why is everybody struggling so much?" Now, I don't know if you've ever had that kind of question be asked of you as a parent, when you maybe know some of the answer, but you don't know quite what to say to a kid. And in the silence, the little boy asked his dad a second question, and he said, "Why do we go to church if all we do is struggle?" Wow. You talk about getting theological. That was an 8-year-old version of the question that I get posed to me on a regular basis. And that is, what good is God if He can't fix the mess that I'm in? Why do I just stay here in this mess? Well, I pray and nothing seems to happen. It's just more mess. And maybe it's not a personal mess, but maybe it's a world mess. And we look and we see what appears to be so many things that are going wrong. And the thinking person ultimately gets to this question and says, "Really, God? You can't do anything about this?" Despite what all of the songs say, as we sing them, the holiday season is not the most wonderful time of the year for many Americans, for many of us. We've talked. I've heard your stories. You've heard each other speak. And it just seems like the holidays are a time when relationships get pushed to their limit. And actually many of them just end during this season. It's a time when fighting families come over to have dinner with each other. You know, it's okay to laugh. It's one of those laughs where we go, yeah, it is. It is that time. The holidays are also this time, and you've noticed this. I don't have a great explanation for it. I have a couple of ideas, but they're just my opinion, ill-informed as it is. But it seems like the holidays are always this time that we are fighting off illness. Now you can go, well, of course, the weather, it's colder, it's this, it's that. Well, seems like the holidays are a time that we are fighting off illness and we are fighting off stress and we are fighting off worry and we deal with holiday depression. It just seems to keep growing more and more. You know, my upbringing in the church is not unlike some of yours. It may be completely different than many of yours. My church upbringing and Christmas was a particularly good mix, as I remember it. It was always a mix of music where we would sing O Holy Night on Sunday morning, and we would get together later for some kind of church party and sing I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, or some Christmas song. It was a mixture of decorations. We decorated in my house. If any of you have visited my house, we like to decorate during Christmas, and we have this very festive mix of Santa and Jesus going on in harmony in our house. We do. We, in honor of, apparently in honor of the wise men bringing gifts to Jesus as worship, we pile on gifts to each other. I've never quite understood the connection. But in my church upbringing, we did our best to blend them. Maybe something similar to you. We had Christmas parties and lots of food and lots of fun and lots of holly jolly, all kind of wrapped up in a church culture. My generation of people, we did our best to put our problems aside, or at least live in denial, in order to give children this sort of magical, whimsical, pseudo-spiritual experience around the holidays. Now, I may sound like I'm being critical, but I'm really not. Because in my home, my kids grew up understanding that Jesus and Santa were not the same. But you got to work at it so that they don't blur the lines between the two. But what I've been thinking about is this, is that there has historically been this space in Christian tradition throughout the ages for those who find themselves hurting and struggling at this time of year. You know what that space is called? It's called Advent. The season that precedes Christmas. The 4 weeks that dot the calendar before December 25th. That is the Advent season. And in the church, historic church calendar, Advent was the place where you didn't run from your pain and run from your struggle, but it was where you ran to it. I didn't grow up in a religious tradition at all that spent much time on Advent. I always thought those churches that did Advent things were kind of weird. And I, just saying, I didn't understand it. And they would have these very hallowed kinds of traditional Christmas activities at their church. And we were, you know, doing our thing. And at this point in my life, I can tell you, I think I missed out on something. I really do. I think I missed out on the whole Advent thing that I didn't understand. And I've had to come to it a little later in life. And the truth is, I still struggle with understanding the depth and the purpose of the Advent season and its history and everything that it has meant to followers of Jesus throughout the ages. But I'm getting there. I think I'm getting there and starting to understand some of it. I want you to look at this. This is the part of the story. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God's with us. You see, Advent, this spiritual space that exists prior to the celebration of the birth of Jesus, Advent puts this crazy, scandalous, otherworldly story of Jesus in a different light. Because it's in this Advent presentation that we can focus on the God with us part of the story. In fact, it has put God with us in a completely different light for me. God, the sovereign creator, became human flesh. I remember I preached on this one Christmas some years ago, and I had people come up to me and go, "Don't ever do that again." Which is what the freedom we have here, that you can say that to me and I can ignore you and we can all be happy still. But I pointed out that in the original language of the Bible, where it says that God became one of us, or originally as it was translated, God became flesh and blood, the word for flesh in the original language is the word carne. You all know what we get in our English language out of carne. Carne asada. Chili con carne. And we would say charred meat. Meat with chili. You see, the word carne means meat, flesh, the stuff of humanity. It says that God became carne. God became meat for us. One of my favorite translations of this passage that has come up, it's a more modern translation, and it comes out of the Message, and it says this: God became one of us and moved in the neighborhood. I love that. I love that translation because I think it embodies the story that we need to grasp onto. Advent is part of a bigger story that really doesn't begin with the singing of angels and the cute little baby Jesus swaddled in a blanket. And it doesn't begin there at all. The Advent story begins with the struggle of the Jews who were exiled into slavery. That's where the Christmas story begins. That's where the Advent story begins. During the days of Advent, historically, we are to prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus by looking back on the the centuries and centuries the people of Israel waited for the Messiah to appear. That's the heart of this story. That's why it is all. The Bible writers always refer back to the prophets of old, who are reminding them that there has been this long, torturous wait for God to become one of us in a completely different way. And that wait for the Jews was horrible. It was struggle magnified by struggle upon struggle for their entire existence. And it's in the midst of that story that the joy and the hope and the peace of Jesus' birth flows. Because it flows out of suffering and struggle and sadness of hundreds and hundreds of years that are stained by tears, waiting, just waiting for it to get better, longing for God to intervene and fix the problem. I read this week as I was preparing. Advent is the season where we pay attention to our sickness and sadness and suffering, remembering that God is also paying attention to the same. Oh my goodness! That had to be one of the greatest quotes that I have read in years. Advent is the season where we pay attention to our sickness and sadness and suffering, remembering that God is also paying attention to the same. I don't know. Seems like more than ever. Advent, this month that we are a part of right now, seems to be a time that we groan for everything to be made right more than any other time. Oh, we groan and whine the rest of the year. I already know that. I mean, it's just kind of part of the way that we are. But wow, it just seems like it gets amped up during this season. And we groan for everything to be made right again. Just like our spiritual ancestors long for their world to be made right. And it's Christmas where we hope that God will meet us right in the middle of our mess. That's Christmas. That God will meet us exactly where we are. Exactly as we are. He's Emmanuel. It's His name. It's His calling. It's His purpose. To move into your neighborhood and mine. And if the cycles of life have taught us anything at all, they've taught us that deep longing and deep struggle always seem to take place before there can be deep rejoicing. We know it every time we wander into a mess again. We have this little taste that we have been given that says, rejoicing is going to happen again. I don't know when, but it's going to happen again. That's God with us. That's the presence of the baby Jesus born at Christmas time in our world that says, there will be rejoicing again. I am sure that many of you heard about the tragedy that struck the city of Louisville this week. If you read about it or saw it on the news, I'm not going to belabor it, but the world was rocked here in our little corner. There was a dad, a husband, four children, young, who died in a tragic accident. He was working on the plumbing at a family's house, and the slab collapsed on him. as he was underneath it, and he died. As I look from a distance, another Christmas has been ruined by death. Forever fastened to the memories of this little family that's left behind for years, probably a lifetime to come. It will never be the same. The memory will dim the lights of Christmas, and it will cast shadows whenever they gather around the table or around the Christmas tree. As they move forward in life, their moments of Christmas joy, I suspect, will always be stained with tears. But it will always be linked to the season that leads up to the birth of Emmanuel. May the meaning and purpose of Advent come to be someday for this family, as it should be, as it can be for us also. The story goes like this. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Do you remember this version? And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Ah, that story. It's that seasonal story that we turn back to for 2 or 3 weeks a year. At my house, on our Christmas tree, we have a cloth. I don't know what it is. It's the tree top on our tree, and it's an angel. It's a white angel with a dress, and you know the look, right? It's huge. It's on top of our tree. I was looking at the angel yesterday as I was kind of wrapping up what I was going to say today. And the angel looks almost fragile. In fact, every time that I'm reaching up to put it on the top anymore, I think this angel is going to fall apart. You know, it's been around our family for a long time. But I remembered that angel on the top of our Christmas tree that's full of Santa images and nativity images and little wise men images and pictures of my boys and the now defunct San Diego Charger helmet that hangs lonely on our tree. That angel is there to remind us of the most magnificent truth there is. I want to look at it again in a more modern version. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Can I remind you of something today as you prepare to spend your final week of Advent, your week of wandering in the wilderness leading up to the day we celebrate as the birth of Jesus, his birthday? Death has not interrupted Christmas. It can't. Christmas, on the other hand, has forever interrupted death. That's why Jesus was born. If Christmas belongs anywhere, it belongs wherever death is knocking, wherever sin is creeping around, wherever struggle is lurking. If Christmas is for anyone, Christmas is for the lonely and the dying, the helpless and the guilty, the ashamed, the lost, the forgotten, the broken. For us, to them and to us, the angel announces, "Do not fear."